Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Chaser Report is recorded on Gadigal land.
Striving for mediocrity in a world of excellence, this is the Chaser Report.
Hello and welcome to the Chaser Report for Wednesday, the 21st of September. I am Charles Firth, and with me today are Alex Vulovich and Lachlan Hodson.
Hello.
Hello.
And I'm still actually at LA Airport. I know yesterday came from LA Airport, but been a few delays, and I'm still here 24 hours.
Charles, you're still not going to let us ask about why they've been holding you there for so long. This is not relevant for the podcast.
Well, as I say, you'll read about it in the court hearings, if they ever get unsealed.
All right. Anyway, Charles, might I say that you're looking not a day over, what's your Wikipedia say again? At 65. What's the secret to this youth that you've got, Charles? You're looking mighty young today. Is there anything special?
For listeners who don't know, it's my birthday today, and Lachlan is an arsehole. And even before we knew each other, he would go in and edit my Wikipedia like a stalker, really, and bump up my age. But people use that. People look up my Wikipedia, you know, when they're introducing me and things like that, and people think that I am the age that I'm set on Wikipedia. And is it now 65? You're an arsehole.
Like born in 1965, Charles. I'll fix that. I'll make it worse. That's what you want.
Oh yeah. So that means
57.
Because I'm actually 47 today. but that's good that if you say I'm 57, because people just always comment, oh, you look really young for your age. Like this is true. James Schleffel, who's the editor of The Shovel and who I do lots of shows with, I met his mum, and she was like, he's so young for his age. He looks so good for a 57-year-old. So I'm happy.
Was his mum single? Is this the situation?
Well, you know, cut that. Now, coming up on the show,
as a birthday favour, I will cut that one.
Yeah. Coming up on the show, I'm going to talk a little bit about what I've been doing, because I kind of feel I've been in America now for over 3 weeks, and I kind of feel like I've become a little bit of a local.
Ooh.
I've been in Utah, guys, for the last couple of days.
Utah?
Have you ever been to Utah?
No.
That's
a Mormon capital of America, right?
Look, people say that, but that's because it's true. But... and it's very weird, but I kind of feel like I'm a bit of a local now, actually, because I spent the day today, I went out elk bugling. I went elk bugling.
Sorry, are you saying bugling?
Elk bugling, which is very popular amongst us Utans, as we like to call ourselves. Yeah.
Right.
So, so I've been elk bugling.
Please enlighten us, birthday boy. What is elk? Yeah. Is this something that only 57-year-olds are into now? Or
no, I think this is an American joke. They're fucking with the foreigners, you know. They're just like, oh, here's this thing. You just gotta blow into an elk.
Well, yeah, that's when I first heard that's what we were going to go and do. I had my suspicion that it was some sort of weird Mormon sexual maneuver, but no. It is a common thing to do, and I'm so glad you ask. I'm very surprised that you don't know what elk bugling is, but I too had my suspicions. So anyway, I went out into this sort of tundra, basically, in the mountains in Park City, which is just out of Salt Lake City. Right? Met up with this very earnest guy called Michael, right? Well, I'll call him Michael, because that's his name. And so I got told that I'm going to go elk bugling. And what we did is I was with another Australian. We went in up into the tundra, into these mountains, and up drives this other guy in a four-wheel drive, and he looks really professional. He's got this sort of like he's got hiking boots on and things like that. But I couldn't tell whether he was sort of the Steve Irwin of Utah or the Russell Coit of Utah, because like he was really serious, like, and he was going, okay, we're gonna go elk bugling now, you know. This is
it's time to hit the road.
The elk are majestic animals, and he gave us this whole brief about now, you know, they can be dangerous. They aren't dangerous animals. They're not considered dangerous. But if you are really stupid, you can actually be, you know, like charged at by an elk, and they will flip you in the air.
Whoa. So,
and we were with a whole lot of kids as well, and they were like, and I couldn't work out whether it was like a performance, it was sort of like a Steve Irwin style performance, or whether it was a sort of true thing. The one thing that I would say about him though was, even though he had all this professional gear on, he did also have bright pink socks and a little bum bag attached to like his. So it was really hard to tell, but you know, you don't know, like maybe that's what a Steve Irwin of Utah wood dressing. So anyway, we're walking along with these kids up this mountain, right, to go and find the elk, right? And the whole thing is you've got to find them, right? And this guy has all these amazing tools in his little bum bag to work out how to find the elk, right? Because he explains you've got to stay upwind of the elk. He said, you know, what is the one? He said, kids, what is the one sense that elks have more than any other, right? And it's like, and they were all from Utah. They all knew the answer. They can smell. They've got really good smell. And it's like, that's right. So we've got to stay downwind of them. That's right. We've got to stay downwind of them, right? And he gets out this little bottle, this little white bottle, and he shakes it up. And then he presses the bottle, and out comes a little puff of like powder or smoke or something. And he goes, see, now we can tell which way the wind is blowing.
Right? Clever.
He's going, and this is my Australian friend and I. We're going, you know, like wetting our fingers and just going, why wouldn't you just, like, you can just tell. Like,
that just reeks of the
which way.
It reeks of that Croc Dundee like skit where he looks up at the sun and then his watch and then he goes, yeah, it's about.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Chaser Report.
So we kept going, and then we go a little further on, and then he turns back to us suddenly. I mean, nothing has happened. Like, there have been no elk so far. And then he just sort of yells at everyone and goes, okay, from now on, everyone's silent. We're going, okay, cool. Like, we weren't really chatting anyway, but right. And the kids were terrified because he was so serious. He was just the most serious person about being quiet ever, right? And I'm sort of slightly terrified, right? Wow. And it wasn't being unfriendly. He was just like, you know, he was just so intent on seeing elk that day, right? Mm. And it's sort of like everyone's now in the bugling mood, right? Like you're just going, okay, I'm in for some elk bugling now. Like everyone was quiet. And we go on a little further and we came across on the track this little black, very, very black, shiny black spider, right? Ooh. Quite large. Mm. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. Yeah. And I sort of get out my phone and try and work out what it is. And he goes, yeah, I think that's a black widow spider, but I don't really care about that because we're interested in elk today. it was truly, like, we hadn't seen an elk in like 45 minutes. Like, we'd just been walking along this fucking track. It was the one interesting thing. And I can tell you now, Utah is a boring landscape. It's fucking full of tundra. Do you know what tundra are? Like, not tundras. Trees. They're just like shrubs. They're just really. And he goes, oh no, this tundra is really fascinating because, you know, this shrub that looks like nothing. That could be like 200 years old, right? That's how amazing Matunda
is. I like to think that Michael's frame of reference is purely elk related. So he sees the Black Widow spider and goes, oh, that spider there, that's got twice as many legs as your average elk.
Elk.
I think you guys are maybe being a bit too mean to Michael. Maybe this is just a Utah thing, like where all the children also like not paying any attention to the spider either.
No, they were pretty. They liked the spider. I'm sorry. I mean, it is true. They were sort of 6 and 7 year olds. So as soon as they were told that spider's not interesting, they did sort of get into line. I think they were learning the Utah way still. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we get to the top of the hill basically, and then we look down, and he goes, "There's a whole lot of elk right in front of us." Right. And you're going, there is no elk in front of us. I can see down this hill. There is no elk, right? And he said, no, they're hiding in all those trees in front of us.
What?
Right? And you're going, I don't think so. Like, the trees are pretty pathetic. They're tiny little trees. They're about the same size as me, right? So we start walking down the hill. And this is the point at which I start going, wait a minute, maybe there is something in this elk thing, right? Because we get to this sort of patch of land inside the shrubbery that had all been just flattened, right? And it's quite large. It's like 20 or 30 meters in diameter of just flattened land. And he turned around and goes, this is where they've been. They've just been here and they've flattened all this land. He's going, what the hell is this? It's like a UFO had flattened all the tundra. Right. And then he reaches into his bum bag and he gets out this little flat semicircular disc, and he puts it in his mouth, and he goes, I swear to you, it sounds like this, right? And that's what it does. And then we wait for about 2 seconds, and then in the bushes we hear the exact sound come back to us.
Whoa.
Right, like there was an animal in there making the same sound back.
That's cool.
Now, I don't know what you think elk sounds like. What do you think elk sounds like? What would your guess? Until I have just spoiled this anecdote by telling you,
I'd assume it sounds like a cow. Mm. Like it just makes a moo noise, like a bit of a
moose kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no. But it doesn't. It sounds like what I just said. I can't really say it too many more times because I'm.
Oh, you wouldn't be the first person making those noises in LA.
I thought it sounded a bit like bomb. There's a bomb.
No. Anyway, so then it's going. So that's female responding to this mating call. I'm the male, right?
That's so
and
mean.
We're bugling, right? And then he goes, "This is perfect. This is absolutely perfect. We're downwind of them. They have no idea what's going on." And then sure enough, he then points, and you can see there's one elk who had just responded, obviously, eating a bush, right, about 20 metres away, right?
Mm.
And I go, oh, my God, that's it. There's the elk. Right? And he goes, oh, no, that's not.
That's not an elk. This is an elk.
The male elk is just behind the other. Yeah, that's right. That's not an elk. This is an elk, right? And sure enough, over the course of the next 30 seconds, we see like dozens of elk all coming past, right? And he's going, nah, this is nothing, right? And then this fuck-off, massive, like 500-kilogram male elk with the most astounding antlers you have ever seen just trots on in and through, like majestic. Like, I can't tell you how amazing this animal was. And they all just, they trot through and they're looking at us. And they're confused, and he's going, see, we're downwind. They can't smell us. They have no idea. They're not going to charge us because they just don't know what we are. And then he bugles again. And then the male gets a bit irritated with this, you know, other male bugling the sort of thing. And he sort of tells all the females that with him, like the 20 other females or so, to just sort of come with him, and then they charge off and sort of thing. It was by far the best elk experience I have ever had. I am an elk bugling convert. Like, if you want to ask what my favorite elk-based sport is, guys, it is elk bugling.
Bugling.
Okay? Yes, elk bugling. shits on all the other elk-based sports. In and the answer is, was he a Russell Coit or was he Steve Irwin? He was a fucking Steve Irwin of elk. He is the elk bugler of Utah.
Oh.
So,
well, that's...
Yeah. So anyway, the point is, everyone who's listening to this podcast has to go to Utah right now and... check out the elk. It's fucking incredible.
I'd suggest they don't do that. This story came across completely different to me as a single male on the dating apps. If I heard a mating call and I came out to see another fucking species of person just like looking at me like a monkey in pink socks and a bum bag, it's hard enough out there. And now you've got just these groups of people making mating calls for no reason. That's just really mean.
Yeah. And you are right. The elk swipe left. And they literally did. They walked off to the left.
I've got to be honest with Charles. I think I'm starting with Alexa more on this one, because when you said elk bugling, I went to the trustworthy news source urbandictionary.com and put the term in. So when you were talking about mating calls, I really did think there was going to be a twist ending here. Elk bugling. A form of bestiality where one person will get bored of riding their mount and instead will strap themselves below and fellate while encouraging the mount to continue running.
That's awesome.
That happened afterwards, great. Yeah, that was in the car park afterwards. It was very enjoyable as well.
Right. So, Charles, is it safe to say that you'll be running elk tours around Australia when you return?
Yes, I will.
Yes. Yeah.
So you can go to elkchaser.com for more details. Our gear is from Rode Microphones, and we're part of the Acast Creator Network. Catch you tomorrow. No, we won't, because it's public holiday.
Special announcement. Oh, that's right. Special announcement.
Yeah, I don't think, because I think it would be sacrilegious. It would not. It would dishonour the Queen if we put out an episode on Thursday.
It would practically be regicide if we put out an episode tomorrow. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.